Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, as you know, the House of Gucci film is in cinemas now and tells the story of how a member of the Gucci family was murdered. The real life story it is based on is every bit as extraordinary, so sorry. The following interview will contain spoilers because, you know, it's history. Angela Giuffrida is Rome correspondent for The Guardian and joins us now in News Talk. Afternoon, Angela.
Good afternoon.
When Gucci was first murdered, as I understand it, the Italian police were pursuing a completely different theory.
They were. So he was murdered in 1995, March 1995, outside his office in Milan. And the police weren't getting very far on it, you know, kind of, you know, 2 years had gone past and they were pursuing the theory that he might have been the target of an international plot. You know, at the time, a few years earlier, he had sold his stake in the Gucci business to an Arab bank. I think, you know, the business, you know, was in a bit of difficulty at the time as well. So this was the theory they were pursuing. They weren't looking at all at, you know, anyone who might have been closer to him.
And so when this police officer, Carmine Gallo, got a phone call, he pursued it, obviously, but everyone else seemed to dismiss it at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it was purely by chance, and Carmine wasn't even on the murder investigation team. He was heading up a unit focusing on organised crime, corruption at the time, and he was working one evening and just answered a landline call from an informant who claimed that he had information about who the murderers were and was initially sceptical but also curious. So he went to meet this guy, and the story unfolded from there. And then he very quickly managed to piece things together. So in a month or two, that the culprits were found and arrested.
It's extraordinary, though, how ham-fisted plotting this murder was. It seemed to be as if they just went around asking anyone, can you murder my ex-husband, please?
Well, this was the story. So, I mean, all the story just sounds really crazy and obviously, you know, perfect for a Hollywood film as well. But Patrizia Reggiani, who had been divorced from Maurizio Gucci for quite a few years before he was killed, but she was still using the Gucci name. And even though as part of that divorce settlement, you know, she kept the house, she had, you know, quite a hefty compensation from it. She had custody of the two daughters. I think there was obviously still some resentment to have been rejected. And she was very attached to the Gucci name as well. And the Inspector Carmine, who I spoke to, said, you know, his view was the main motive was she didn't want to lose that name. And apparently Maurizio at the time, because she was going around still using it, even though they were divorced. And at the time he was trying to get her to stop using it. So she then says to, I mean, she said this herself. She went around, you know, asking anyone who could, you know, if there was anyone who could murder her husband on her behalf, and before then joking and saying, well, you know, all wives want to kill their husbands, don't they, kind of thing. I didn't mean it. But there was a clairvoyant, her personal clairvoyant, who then went and basically organized the assassination. So, but the people involved in it weren't exactly professionals, so to speak.
Yeah, but they were broke. I think one ran a pizzeria or something.
Yeah, one ran a, like, had a debt-ridden pizzeria. The other was a porter of a hotel on the outskirts of Milan, and the other guy was the driver.
Yeah, and I suppose because I think a doorman was also injured in the attack, which kind of indicated these weren't professionals.
Yes, exactly. He was accidentally shot as well, and he survived. Sadly, he passed away last year and never did receive compensation that he was supposed to get for it. But yeah, had they been professionals, they probably wouldn't have left a witness.
Yeah. Now, after the murder took place, then was there kind of a worry that she was going to confess to the whole thing?
There was, yes, because basically Carmine, there's some detail that wasn't in my story. Basically what he did, because the team actually investigating it didn't think, you know, basically laughed when he said, look, I've got this information. It could be, you know, Reggiani, the ex-wife. So in order to get a bit of movement going, he basically gave a story to the press, which said that the police were closing in on Gucci's inner circle. And that got the culprits nervous. because they thought that what if it all comes out, then Reggiani would say, I had nothing to do with it. And it was all them. I didn't organise this at all. And so they then plotted to kill her as well. And this is when they were snared, because then the inspector sent an undercover cop, and with the help of the informant, obviously, they set up a meeting where they were kind of all plotting to assassinate Reggiani too. And he sent an undercover cop who was, you know, basically the fake hitman. And they recorded the whole conversation, and that was how they immediately confessed then upon their arrest.
So when they eventually arrested Reggiani, as it says in your piece, she was very calm. She was almost expecting this to happen.
Possibly, although initially, you know, her first comment was when they sat her down was, oh, I was only joking. You know, how many wives say they want to kill their husbands? So possibly she knew that they would get to her eventually.
Yeah. As I understand, when she was brought into the police to make a statement, she refused to sign it in her own name.
Yes. So she was always, and even after her release, you know, she very much, you know, kind of kept the, you know, very much attached to the Gucci name, said that, you know, I'm the only true Gucci left. And she never quite let that go.
What did she do after her release from prison?
So she was released in 2014, and as part of her early release, she had to work. And, you know, she was kept turning down. I mean, she'd never properly worked in her life, so she kept turning down jobs, saying that, you know, they were too menial. And her lawyer got desperate and then spoke to a friend of his who owns a costume jewelry, an upmarket costume jewelry shop in Milan. And she agreed to work there because it was very much in fitting with, you know, the luxury life that she was used to have before going to prison. So she worked in this jewelry shop part-time for about 2.5 years, 2016, yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose in a way they're frisson of excitement for customers to that particular jewelry shop as well. Angela Giuffreda is Rome correspondent for The Guardian. Angela, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.